Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet America. Right now, they're running a promotion where they're offering new players a risk-free bet up to $1,000. All you've got to do is register for a Bet America account and opt into the promotion. From there, place a bet, and if the first settled bet loses, Bet America will reward players bonus funds in the amount of the losing bet up to $1,000. Eligibility and restrictions apply. See the website for details. And joining me on today's show to drop some knowledge about NFL divisional round playoff action is Scott Shapiro. But first, for the last few weeks, I've really been hammering home the opportunities that are there with live betting. Well, guess what? In NFL wildcard weekend, that was true once again. But what I want to focus on this time specifically is the money line opportunities in live betting. And I'm going to use the Bills-Texans game as the example. Heading into the game, the Texans were 2.5-point favorites. And what ended up happening, the Bills jumped out to a 16-0 lead. And at the time, the Texans' live betting money line got up to plus 747. When this happened, the numbers seemed out of whack to me. It was still just a two-score game. The Texans were at home. And more importantly, Deshaun Watson was still their quarterback. And of course, what happens? The Texans came roaring back to take the lead at 19-16. When this happened, the Bills went to plus 259 on the money line. So let's break this down. In this game, there was an opportunity to get both teams at plus money on the money line, one at 2.5 to 1, one at 7 to 1. This is a can't-lose proposition. But here's the important part. In order for this to happen, there has to be volatility on the game. Because the underdog got out to a big lead, it put plus money on the favorite. After that, the favorite had to make a comeback. Had the refs not overturned that second half kickoff touchdown for the Bills, this would never have been possible because the score would have been 20-0, not as likely for the Texans to come back. In games that are expected to be close, pay attention to the teams that are live underdogs. If one of them gets out to a double-digit lead, see if you can get plus money on the favorite, and then if they come back later on to make it close or take the lead, get money line action on the dog to ensure yourself a profit. I'll be live tweeting the live betting odds throughout the games this weekend as I'm going to be following the market. If you've got some live betting action going, I would love to hear about it. You can tweet me at Rob Cressy.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Before we get to the games, from our friends at Covers Experts, here's an exclusive offer for the Sharp 600 listeners only. Get 25% off any Covers Experts product when you use promo code SHARP25. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save a little money and follow the pros all the way to the bank. Again, that's SHARP25 for 25% off any product.
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything onto this field, point them out, and get them out of here? You don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati.
And joining me to talk about NFL division round playoff action and to help you be a more informed better is Scott Shapiro, football analyst at Bet America. You can follow him on Twitter at ScottShap34. Scott, great to have you back on the show.
Yes, Happy New Year, Rob. Happy New Year, all the listeners. Good to be back and still shaking my head at some of the stuff we saw in an absolutely entertaining wild card round. But getting ready, fired up for the divisional round.
Yeah, me as well. And there's one thing that's actually on my mind right out of the gate, and it is home teams coming off a bye versus road teams. So I've got two stats that I want to frame with this. Is that in this round, home teams have gone 42% against the spread in the last 60 games. On the flip side, road teams in the divisional round have gone 36-27-1, 57% against the spread. So we're looking at 42% for the home teams, 57% for the road teams. And this year, what was the biggest narrative of a sports betting trend was the success of the road teams. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts on home teams coming off a bye, which oftentimes can be overvalued.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I think we saw the opposite. We saw, they went 3-1, the home teams. What I've kind of noticed anecdotally over the years is that a lot of these teams take advantage of the situation and win easily, but there does seem to be, other than last year and a couple other exceptions, at least one team that not only covers but springs the upset. However, we'll talk about specific games soon. There's one game where I think there's a specific advantage to the team coming off the bye, and then the others I'm going to take it one by one with a grain of salt, but I'm still going to lean and give the teams with a bye week an edge here, Rob. It's a huge advantage to rest up instead of have to go getting out there and playing in some of the messes we saw this last weekend.
All right, let's start. 49ers at home taking on the Vikings. It's either -6.5 or -7, depending on where you're seeing it. Obviously, that's a gigantic difference with the half-point hook. Over-under on this game, 45. So digging into this a little bit, 49ers on the season, 3-4-1 as a home favorite. Vikings, 2-2 as a road dog. However, Vikings are 4-1 against the spread their last four. The 49ers... the 49ers 4-2 against the spread the last six. So both teams trending upwards, looking at over under, both of them middle of the road. So no real big lean here. So here's my question for you. Why will the 49ers not do as well as expected?
Yeah, that's a good question because they have some significant edges here, Rob. The Vikings short rest. We talk about it during the regular season, teams coming off the Monday night game, off a big Monday night win. We like to play against them a lot of times. You have a Vikings team that blocked pretty well for Kirk Cousins against the Saints, but they take on a 49ers defensive line that's as good as any in the league and gets Dee Ford back as well as Quan Alexander. But if you force me into making a case for the Vikings, I could go look at Jimmy G making his first start at quarterback in the NFL as a starter. That's always a question mark, although I don't think it'll hurt them in this case. And then the other thing is the Niners offensive line, probably not their strength. And we've seen when Jimmy G's been pressured in the past, he's been forced into mistakes. And Danielle Hunter and crew were really, really good against the Saints. They took Drew Brees out of his game early. So if I'm looking for reasons to like the Vikings, it's Jimmy G's first start and maybe forcing Jimmy G into mistakes with some pressure up front.
And I think it's an important question for us to ask because it's so simple when you look at this game, what is my default? Oh, if I can get the 49ers under a touchdown, they're the arguably best team in the NFC there. And the Vikings coming off a big win, we traditionally like to fade teams coming off a big win there. So I can see the narrative very much so, but I also think it's just so important to have the contrarian mindset and not just assume, because in this round, we do see a lot of high spreads. So it's very easy to say, oh, this is going to happen. But guess what? I loaded up on Saints players in my playoff fantasy challenge. How well did that work for me? Not well at all. So there are some checks and balances that we need to have to be informed bettors.
Yeah, no, very good points there. It's very difficult to get to any of the three dogs this week, as we'll talk about the two big ones in the AFC in a moment. But you make a good point. It's not as easy as just taking the better team coming off the bye, laying the points. So you want to look at both sides of the story for sure, Rob.
So I'm going to be looking at the live betting lines a ton in all of these. I don't have a lean yet, but we will get to some of the other action we're going to be playing where I will be throwing stuff in teasers. So let's move to the next game. Ravens laying 9 at home, taking on the Titans, over under 47. The Ravens have been straight fire the last 10, 9-1 against the spread. However, they are just 2-4 as a home favorite against the spread on the season. On the flip side, the Titans 7-3 against the spread. Their last 10, 3-2 as a road dog. So once again, give me the reason why the Ravens will not do as well as expected.
Okay, so there's two reasons why the way Tennessee can hang in this game and cover that spread. One, defensive coordinator Dean Pease, one of the top defensive minds in the game. He took on Greg Roman, I believe, in 2012 in one of his offenses and set up a game plan that kind of was able to control the rushing attack of the I believe it was at the time. I forget what Roman's team was at the time. But in this case, I think Dean Pease can come up with a game plan. He's got the tools to shut down Lamar Jackson. Well, contain Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and crew. My problem is it's going to leave a lot of openings in the passing game. And we've seen Lamar not be as good in the air as he is on the ground, but good enough to take advantage of these situations with Marquise Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, and those other tight ends. The other reason is the other way that the Titans can win this game is by hanging in this game in the first quarter. The Ravens are plus 97 on the year in the first quarter. So they've jumped out, taken the lead, and then been able to lean on teams with their running game, stop their passing game with their strong secondary. So I think for the Titans to hang in this game, they need to stop or control the big play on the ground, and they need to jump out and be able to use Derrick Henry for all four quarters, Rob.
So with that in mind, with the Ravens jumping out early, that could be a good opportunity if you want the Titans to say, let me wait until the Ravens hopefully score first. If the line's at 9 right now, maybe you can get that bad boy ticked up to 10.5 or 11 and try and play that float there. So two things about the Titans. One, Ryan Tannehill did not play well last week. He only had 72 yards passing. That is a major concern. The other, man, Derrick Henry was a freaking Mack truck. He was amazing, 182 yards rushing. But guess what? How many points did that generate? Only 14 scored for the Titans offense in that game. That gives me some big concern. I feel extremely uncomfortable backing the Titans because, as you said, if the Ravens go up on this game 7-0 and then let's say 3-and-out by the Titans, rut-row, you are not going to feel good being on the other side of that. But what do we always say on this podcast? Get comfortable being uncomfortable. So for this is going to be a game that I will be teasing, and I'll be looking in the live betting lines.
Yeah, this game has the makings of a good live betting line game for me as well, because if the Ravens jump out early, it could get ugly. If the Titans are able to jump out and get the lead, we haven't really seen a lot of Lamar Jackson coming from behind. He's been unbelievable this year, but what happens if they fall behind 7-0, 10-0, 10-3? How will they react? So I could see making a play on the Ravens first quarter because the history of their season tells us they are going to jump out, but then I could see making live betting based on how that first quarter or the early part of the game goes. If the Ravens get out early, it could be a long day for the Titans. You mentioned Tannehill did not have to do much in that playoff game. They've got very tough matchups on the outside. A.J. Brown had Gilmore last week. He's going to have another tough matchup, whether it be Humphrey or Smith or Peters this week. So I'm with you. I think this is a great game for live betting.
I really like your thought process on Ravens first quarter. That makes a ton of sense. All right, moving on to the games on Sunday. We've got the Chiefs laying 9.5 at home, taking on the Texans over under in this game, 51. And the Chiefs, they are also straight fire right now, having covered each of their last six games. The Texans, however, 4-2 against the spread over their last six. They're also 4-2 on the season as a road dog. The Chiefs, 3-2-1 as a home favorite. But you know what has my eye in this game? The total. It's at 51 right now. The Chiefs are 1-5 to the under their last six. Texans, 1-3 to the under the last four. And get this, in the Chiefs' six-game win streak, they've allowed 69 points over those six games, which is an average of only 11.5 points per game. But wait, there's more. Under Andy Reid, the Chiefs have scored 2.9 fewer points per game at home than they have on the road since 2013. For me, as gross and as uncomfortable as this feels, I'm leaning towards the under.
Yeah, I'm going to play the other side here. Might not play the over because that's a lot of points, but I'm not buying into this Kansas City defense yet at this point. I'm hearing from everyone this defense has been so much better of late, but let's take a look at who they've played in their last six games. They played the Patriots. We know their offense was down this year. The Raiders, Denver, the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky, and the Chargers twice. Now they take on a Texans team that's likely to get Will Fuller back to stretch the field. They put up 31 points on them on October 13th. And Deshaun Watson is going to be tough for them to tackle running the ball. They give up 5 yards per carry to opposing quarterbacks during the regular season. And you really want to bank on that Texans defense, Rob? I mean, they couldn't stop the Buffalo Bills. The Bills were unstoppable on third down, 11 for 21. They only really stopped themselves that game. Some of the worst tackling I've seen. And they take on a Kansas City pass offense that has had time to rest. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. I don't have the guts that you do to take the under in this one. It's the over or nothing for me.
Well, one, J.J. Watt is back, so that means everything is all solved, right? Because that's what the narrative would like to tell us. The biggest challenge I have in this game is I don't trust the Texans whatsoever. If they can go down 16-0 to the Bills at home, what in the world can they do against the Chiefs on the road? But here's the thing. It's also the freaking Texans. They do one thing one week, and the next week they're going to win by 40 points against the Chiefs. Like, there is no consistency. 9.5 is a lot in with Deshaun Watson. The back door is always going to be open here. So you're really looking, all right, 9.5. You could even buy up to 10. That's just a lot of points right there. For me, as uncomfortable as that under is, this is also one that I potentially tease up to make that number 57, but I'm also going to be looking potentially on the Texans on the teaser here, but I just don't know if I want to be on the Texans. I just feel gross about backing them. I just don't believe on them, and I never believe in them.
Yeah, the thing about them is they're better in this role as road dogs, significantly better. And Andy Reid, believe it or not, has not been good as the Chiefs coach in playoff games at home. So I could easily see the Chiefs jumping out on them early. That pass defense of the Texans is atrocious. John Brown was wide open by 10 yards several times in that game. And if they leave DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller over open, if they leave the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce wide open, Mahomes is going to make them pay. This screams over to me, and I don't want to lay the points because I can easily see, like you said, Deshaun with that back door coming through.
And by the way, Will Fuller, even if he plays, temper your expectations because I'm yet to see Will Fuller play a healthy quarter, nonetheless, an entire game. And we know how different of a team. And by the way, this is a great game for live betting on both ends. Specifically, if the Texans can get out to the lead because the volatility, both of these teams have potentially explosive offenses if Will Fuller plays that one quarter. If you see the Texans get out early or something like that, we know the Chiefs can come back, and there may be something about the live betting algorithms that don't necessarily give extra juice to the fact that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback and more so the situational analysis.
I think if you like the over in this game, you want the Chiefs to jump out and the Texans to have to come from play from behind. I think if you like the under in this game, you'd love to see the Texans come out, stay in this game early, because you know they're going to start to lean on Carlos Hyde much more than they were able to against Buffalo, and more like they were able to on October 13th when they sprung the upset in Arrowhead.
Your 2019-20 Houston, Texas Super Bowl chances were relying on Carlos Hyde.
I give them very, very little chance to make the Super Bowl, but they might be able to hang in this game despite on paper what looks to be a very tough matchup.
All right, let's move to the last game. We've got the Packers laying 4 at home, taking on the Seahawks. Over under in this game, 46. So here's the big thing that stands out. Seahawks 4-1 against the spread on the season as a road dog. Packers 5-3 as a home favorite. Looking on the season, the Packers were a little bit better against the spread. 10-6, Seahawks 8-1. Looking at this from an over-under perspective, the Packers were actually an under team this year. 6-10 to the under. 0-4 to the under their last 4. 1-7 to the under their last 8. Seahawks absolutely middle of the road. And the big thing that stands out to this, how terrible the Seahawks running game was. Just 19 yards on 17 carries last week. They've got tons of injuries. But here's the biggest challenge to all of this. It's Russell Wilson. Despite everything that you see, what all of the stats say, I have not believed in the Seahawks. Their small point differential in the season, how good they are in one score games. It's like everything says do not take the Seahawks. But then you're like, yeah, but Russell Wilson just finds a way.
Yeah, it's tough to bet against Russell, especially as an underdog, knowing that the back door will be open. We saw it against the Niners. He almost brought them back to win it on that Sunday night game. They're 7-1 on the road this year. They beat the Eagles on the road last week, so make it 8-1. 4-2 against the spread as a dog, 3-1 as a road dog. And they should be able to run the ball much better than they did against that very tough Eagles front, especially if they get Mike Iupati or Dwayne Brown back or both. I expect them to be able to run the ball a little bit to more than enough against the rushing defense that gave up 120.1 yards per game and 4.7 yards per carry. But I got to tell you, Rob, I'm struggling with this game. I know it's Tuesday. We got plenty of time to shake things out a little bit more, but I'm not comfortable betting either side of this game.
No, because I'm not bullish on the Packers because they don't pass the eye test that if you were to say Russell Wilson is getting points on the road, period, I don't care when it is, but nonetheless, the playoffs, you're like, that sounds like a great proposition. And haven't been in love with what I'm seeing with the Packers. So maybe this is another great opportunity for live betting because we can see either scenario happening with either team getting up earlier. So maybe you can try and find a way to get plus money on either side of this.
Yeah, very good point. And when I'd be much more confident taking the points with Seattle if it wasn't for what I saw from their defense of late. They really were awful against the Niners much of that game. Got back into it a little bit, but I know they only gave up 9 points to the Eagles, but I mean, that was Josh McCown, and they really had to rely on red zone stops on third and fourth down to get by in that game. And I just don't know if I can count on them to stop Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and Davante Adams when it matters in those spots. So I thought I would be dead against the Packers in the playoffs and their first matchup was counting on it being the Saints. Hard for me to get excited about backing them, but Seattle, very difficult for me to get excited about either.
One little side nugget, because I was so heavy on the Saints in my playoff fantasy matchups, what I had to do to pivot is load my team up with Packers. By no means is this an endorsement for the Packers. This is more of a strategy thing because people playing playoff fantasy, it's going to be a lot of people on the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Ravens. So all of those teams immediately get thrown out. So even though I'm not on the Packers and I don't like them, in order for me to have the longest Hail Mary ever to try and do something, I've loaded my team up with Packers. So Scott, let's actually move this bad boy over to our 6-point teaser of the week. And I feel a lot more comfortable teasing these games. I was doing a lot of teasers last week and I'm going to continue to do it here. And for me, I like getting double digits. Give me the Seahawks plus 10 and the Vikings plus 12.5. Both of them more than a touchdown there. And in looking at these games, I guess I feel more comfortable about both of those teams staying in than I do backing the Titans or the Texans, because both of those teams, I don't exactly believe in the Titans. I certainly don't trust the Texans, but the Vikings, I at least liked what I saw with them, and that's a big number there. And on the Seahawks, that's just a default to Russell Wilson. So give me Seahawks plus 10, Vikings plus 12.5. What about you?
Well, I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well. So confused with the 3.5 or 4-point line that I believe this game stays within 9.5 or 10. So I'll take the Seahawks, but I'm going to go with the other side of the NFC because with the AFC games, I'm with you. I think they could go either way. I'm a little bit concerned about a blowout, but maybe one of those teams can hang in there. So I'm going to take the 49ers, the Vikings, 0-13-1 straight up in outdoor road games on grass against teams with a winning record since 2016. I'm a little scared about the Jimmy G factor, but I think the 49ers defense comes to play and makes life very, very difficult on Kirk Cousins. So we'll go San Francisco minus the 1.
And that was something that I was actually looking at because all they got to do is win. I do like that. Every week we like to give an uncomfortable bet of the week. I don't have one because All of them make me feel uncomfortable. I'll put it this way. I took the under 51 in the Chiefs Texans game. That's
pretty uncomfortable.
That's extremely. All right, there's my answer. There's my uncomfortable bet is the under. Do you have an uncomfortable bet?
Yeah, you know what? When all said and done, I think especially if we can get it up to 10 with the Texans, I'm not going to be comfortable. I could honestly see them falling behind 21-0 right off the rip. But the backdoor factor, the fact that the Texans played good in this role, and the fact that they played so poorly last week and won, we usually know they're inconsistent. So maybe they come out and play their A game and get the running game started or get the running game rolling at all. So I'm going to say uncomfortable Texans, hopefully at plus 10, but right now plus 9.
All right, so let's recap our picks. For me, my 6-point teaser, Seahawks plus 10, Vikings plus 12.5. My uncomfortable bet is under 51 in the Chiefs Texans game. Scott, what is your recap?
Yeah, my teaser is the 49ers and the Seahawks, a little NFC West action there. And my uncomfortable bet is the Houston Texans. I'm uncomfortable just saying it, in Arrowhead, plus the 9.5. Hopefully we can get 10 at some point.
Scott, looking forward to another amazing weekend of NFL action. Where can everybody connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at ScottChap34. You can find me on the Who Do You Like podcast, which runs every Thursday during the football season. That's on all networks, so you can find pods. And then you can find my writing at extra.betamerica.com.
And I want to hear from you. Do you have a 6-point teaser or uncomfortable bet of the week? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And every week, we'd love when you subscribe, rate, and review and show us love because we will show you love. So I want to give a shout out to MasonJar563 who gave us 5 stars. It says, "Ayo, forget about it. Rob, I sincerely apologize that I have never left a review. I'd give it 10 stars if I could. Great info and stats. Always been a gambler, mostly poker, but really just immersed myself in sports betting world only a few years ago. I'm addicted. The advice is great and I've learned a lot. Still learning. My absolute favorite podcast for sports betting. Keep it up, brother. Please give me a shout out before the season is over. I've bet the big Mick with you all year." MasonJar563, my man, there is your shout out. And congratulations on playing Big Mick because that was a profitable strategy for all of us. Also, make sure to check into Bet America for the $1,000 risk-free bet. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. With it. The Funkadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action, so everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.